My place in tech changes every day, but I don't fear the future because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself.
Hey folks, Dan Frew here with your closing bell for December 4th, 2024. So if you're in the equities, great job today. If you're in crypto, fantastic job today. And if you're in real estate and you're waiting for mortgage rates to come down, this might be an entry point. So we have a lot of data coming in. We also have a lot of data coming in the next 2 days, so let's get over to it. Right through here is the economic calendar. What I want to show you guys through here is the jobs numbers that came out so far. This might give us a little bit of a precursor to what's to come. So we had the JOLTS numbers coming in on Tuesday. This is job openings and labor transfers. And previous reading was 7.3. It came in, went all the way up to 7.74. That's a massive move in job openings and transfers. Okay, so that's one piece of the puzzle. It was like, okay, that might be a little concerning in the jobs market. Then we had the ADP payroll numbers. And they expected, or the last reading was 184,000 people got jobs. They expected this time 166, only 146 got jobs. But they're still like, okay, that's positive. We're still over 100,000. We'd like to be at 150,000 per payroll cycle, but this is close enough. So it's not kind of freaking out the markets. Then the rest of the data came in basically just humdrum. So now we have tomorrow coming out right before the bell or right before the markets open, initial jobless claims. So this is from the government, and this may be a market mover that's coming in. So tomorrow might be just a little bit wishy-washy, but then on Friday, this is when the numbers start to come in. This is going to give us average hourly earnings. So we're going to see our people earning more to get through all this inflation that we've been seeing. And then we're going to get the non-farm payrolls and then the new unemployment rate. So what's that expected to be? It's at 4.1 right now. They're expecting to tick up just a little bit to 4.2. So that's what is expected in the markets right now. But there was a market turn today right through here. This is Tom Barkin. He's the Richmond Federal Reserve. He sits on the Federal Reserve in Richmond. And he has a take on what's going on right now. I have to share this with you because it was intriguing even on my end. And once he spoke, the kind of the market just took a complete turn. You can see right over through here. MBS markets were basically negative in the morning, and then we just kept ticking up, 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 and up. And all these little dots right here that you're seeing, these are banks actually coming in and reducing their rates. So a pretty nice day going on right now. And I'm going to conclude all this with a lot of the economic news that's coming out today, but I wanted to share this with the Federal Reserve official has to say. So let's take it over to him and see what the context is.
Question I think is... one way to think about policy is how you balance risks. And things have maybe changed a little bit since we last talked and since November. Tell me how you judge the balance of risks between inflation potentially coming back or stalling and potential weakness in the job market.
Well, okay. Before we go any further, I want to let you know one thing. The Federal Reserve was created. It's not really a part of the federal government. It's not even a bank. So they call it a Federal Reserve Bank, but it's not federal and it's not a bank. So whatever. But they make a lot of policies. Okay, so, but they were created for two things and two things only. One, inflation to keep price stability in check. And two, for maximum jobs. So that's what they're creating, or that's why they were created, and that's what they're going to take a deep dive into this. And that's why we also take a deep dive every day into the jobs numbers and where inflation's going. So let's keep going.
Maybe I should start on the positive side, which is I think inflation's come down a bunch, and I'm encouraged with where it's headed. I think a lot of people on the labor side were worried that there was a cliff there, and that also seems not to be the case. So in both sides of our mandate, we seem to be heading in the right direction. Now, today is no promise of tomorrow, and so you have to think hard about where you're going. And I see positives on both sides, but I definitely see risks on both sides. On the inflation side, we talk about the progress, but we're still in the mid twos, not at two, and so we're still above our target. That's a risk. On the employment side, you can't ignore last month's jobs report, even if you try to explain it away. 12,000 jobs is not good. We'll get another jobs report on Friday. And, you know, there is risk when hiring's down in this country that eventually job growth starts to slow. And so both of those are risks, and I'm attentive to both of them.
chairman talked about this notion of recalibration that to me, and everybody has their own interpretation of that, basically talked about adjusting the policy rate somewhat separate from the data. Are we still, well, first of all, do you agree with that interpretation? And second of all, are we still in a recalibration mode where you're adjusting to get to a point where you are sort of closer to neutral?
Well, in our...
Okay, so what they're talking about there, Steve Leisman is trying to get to the point where, Mr. Fed official, can you tell us where you're wanting the federal funds rate to be? Because once you know that, then all the markets can kind of anticipate or adjust their interest rates and things accordingly. But a lot of people are just sitting on the sidelines, even in the mortgage business. It's like, okay, where are things going to go from here? Because if the Fed keeps lowering rates, that's going to bring down yields on treasuries and everything else, most likely. And then that should start bringing down interest rates as well. There's a whole bunch of dynamics there. But I just want you to understand a lot of what they're talking about.
September meeting, we cut rates for the first time. And to me, the logic was pretty straightforward, which was, inflation was a lot closer to target. Unemployment was pretty close to what most people think is maximum employment. And the one number that seemed out of sync was the Fed funds rate, which was, depending on how you think about neutral, 200 or plus more percent points over what neutral was. And so the notion of recalibrating the Fed's fund rate made sense to me. And I do think that's the process. So that's your second question, I guess, which is, did that make sense to me? It is a judgment call when you're sort of done with recalibrating and ready to start normalizing. And to me, normalizing is a slower, more careful path to try to bring rates down to neutral. And I think that depends a lot on where you think neutral is. It's like a unicorn that no one's ever seen because you can't measure it. Even the best models have a 200 basis point standard error. And if you look at the FOMC analysis, we have people as low as 2.5 and people as high as 3.75. And so it's pretty hard to know that, but based on where you think that is, that's one determinant.
As you can see by his context, even Fed officials, economists, don't know where that neutral rate is. So when a lot of people are like, Dan, how, you know, why don't they know? They just don't know. The data continues to come in, and that's where the markets are like, okay, how much data are you going to need to finally make some adjustments and put a basically a path in action? And that's what the markets are waiting for right now.
And the other is where you see the risks. And so even in the next couple of weeks, we'll learn a lot more. We'll get another jobs report. Is it going to be more like November or more like October? We're going to get another whole round of inflation data. Will it look more like the 12-month numbers or more like the last couple month numbers? So there's a lot of information still in front of us.
I get that. But I guess the question remains, are we still recalibrating? Are we still coming down because you need to be in a place that's closer to neutral, irrespective of the data that's coming up?
Well, that's the judgment call we're going to have to make. And I think it really does depend. I think the story that says we want to get to not very restrictive, but somewhat restrictive, because we're not yet at our mandate, but we're a lot closer than we were, that story is very clear. I'm sure my colleagues will have very different points of view in terms of what is somewhat restrictive enough.
All right, we're going to come back to that, but I just want to ask you about how do you process the potential changes in fiscal policy that could be coming?
We released the CFO survey this morning, which Richmond does with the Atlanta Fed and Duke University. A pretty interesting set of outcomes. The CFOs in that survey, and if any of you would like to participate, we're open for business. We did the survey before the election, half the survey and half the survey after the election. And you know what you saw was the business leaders in that survey significantly more optimistic about the state of the U.S. economy, significantly more optimistic about growth. And that's what
sparking with our Steve Leisman at the CNBC.
Okay, so that's the report you can see. So after the election, even though tariffs are supposed to be coming and a bunch of other things, the CEOs of these companies are starting to loosen up. And we also heard that into this morning's jobs data. If you check out this morning's jobs report that I posted, they said the same thing. Once the election was over, a lot of people started hiring once again. So there's a lot of clouds out there that a lot of companies are trying to maneuver through right now. But the markets, based on the context that we have right now, the markets are liking the data because MBSs are up 15 ticks. If you're new to the channel, how we follow mortgages here, or we follow the mortgage bond. We don't follow 10-year treasury. We don't follow the Fed. We don't look at bank rates. This bond right here, the MBS, is the biggest component. This makes up basically 90% of the mortgage rate that you're paying. So that's why we follow this bond. All you need to know is if that bond price is going up, it means rates are coming down. There's a yin-yang effect. So 15 ticks up should bring rates down just a little bit today. Let's refresh that and see if that's updated yet. No, not yet. We have some more good news coming in. Inflated adjustable home prices, 1.4 below 22 peak. But the price to rent index is 8.1% below 2022 peaks. So why I bring this up is the price to rent index, this makes up 40% of the CPI, the inflation, one of the inflation numbers that the Federal Reserve monitors. So you have it 8.1% below 22 levels. It's below 23 levels. So that means that's why a lot of the Fed officials keep saying the housing inflation numbers are coming down and they're going to continue to come down. So that's why they're kind of they're adjusting rates now. And I think this is going to be the pivotal point where they're most likely now going to cut rates once again in December, because the net neutral rate is still much higher than where they want to be right now. So that's good news for home owners and home buyers. We have more good news. Home buyer demand jumped 6% as rates fell to the lowest level in the last few months. So a lot of people our activity is starting to pick up as well. Now, let's go over to the equity markets. If you're in the equity markets or you're in cryptocurrencies, I think you're going to be happy today as well. Look, we got green all the way across the board. The only one green piece that I don't like is the VIX right through here. It upticked a little bit. Think of this as the blood pressure of the equity markets. So as this goes up, their blood pressure, they're getting a little anxious. So we like this number, you know, right around these points. So it's only at 13 right now. As long as it's staying under 16 or 18, we're good there. All across the board, you have the indices up quite a bit across there. You also had cryptocurrencies up. Jesus, we're just shy of 100,000 once again. I just bought some more of these at like 93 or 94 because it took a little bit of a dip. So I'm buying on the dips. Don't do what I do. Don't trade on what I say. Don't do anything. I'm just here to provide you the research and the tools to find out and make your own investment decisions. We go over to oil. Oil is down also 1.5%. Oil slightly down ahead of OPEC's decision. So this is fantastic to bring down inflation even more. So basically net-net, overall, the equities did very well. Bond markets are doing very well. Oil's in check. And the equity markets are actually a little relaxed right now based on the VIX. So again, tomorrow our report is going to be what are the initial jobless claims, how those come in, and will that affect the markets? Come back tomorrow because I'm going to show you exactly what it's doing. So my name is Dan Frio. Who am I? I'm a loan officer. That's what I do for a living. I do these videos just to educate you guys. That's my goal. I assume if I educate you enough, you'll find the confidence in me to use me as your loan officer. So I'm licensed in all 50 states as well as Puerto Rico. I work at ServBank. We're the number 10 largest mortgage company in the whole country. And we're also one of the biggest servicers, but we're also a mortgage broker. So you probably haven't heard that mostly. Most banks just have their products. We're a little bit different. We offer our programs. Plus, if we can get you a better deal with another bank, we'll do just that for you. So that's my report for today. Check out my website right here, the rate update with Dan Free, the rateupdate.com. And you're going to see all these functions right through here. The main thing you need to know is if you want to get that application in right through here, just click that button. But if you have questions, click this. Just schedule a one-on-one consultation on our live events. We're going to have that this evening. I postponed it till 7 o'clock tonight. I had several meetings this afternoon I had to attend. So I had to postpone my live event till 7 o'clock this evening. So I hope you join me tonight so you can ask all the questions that you have about homes, home prices, where rates are going to go, different mortgage programs and such. Today, we're going to talk about housing crash 2025. Housing crash 2025. We're going to talk about that. Is it a possibility? You might be a little bit surprised there. So check it out. But if you were looking to refinance at some point, we actually created a tool right here. It says Rate Watch, register today. You can just click that. Tell us what rate you're looking for to refinance. And when that rate hits it, we'll get you on the phone right then and there and get the process started for you. So my name is Dan Frio. Love for you to follow me on YouTube. And that's it for tonight. So check out our live event this evening. Other than that, I will be back tomorrow to show you how all this starts another day. Thanks for watching. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.